This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy, with air quotes around it, happy Monday to all of you today. As we come back from a weekend that had big hope going into it, and Friday night, tremendous hope going into Saturday and Sunday, and then here we are, 103-89, the final score last night. The Rockets season is over. We will do the autopsy on that game and talk about what the offseason has in store for us and a whole lot more as we welcome you in. Hope you, other than last night, hope you had a great weekend. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne with coffee in hand and ready to go. How you doing, my friend?
I don't know. For some reason, I felt upbeat as I heard the music in the intro, and then you and your morose tone brought me down.
Sorry.
So I don't know what the hell drug I was on, what brandy slipped into my coffee this morning, but that was, I was perfectly willing and ready to accept a loss in Game 7. I didn't expect the Rockets to be down by 10 early in the game while Steph Curry was over on the night.
Yeah.
I somehow, like an idiot, I had let the Warriors lull me into a sense of complacency over the last couple games, over games 5 and 6, into thinking that Buddy Hield couldn't show up as Klay Thompson reincarnated.
Yeah.
It was the catch and shoot.
Yep.
And I think I'm gonna take more of a break on Udoka than some people are right now, just because clearly you got to give credit to Kerr for making the adjustments, realizing that the Rockets and their big men were giving you this hassle, making Looney somehow an important factor in this game. But also, I'm still left wondering, okay, what exactly is Udoka supposed to do when this team has no shooters on it?
Yeah.
The offense desperately needs more ball movement. They need cutters. They need to be a better offense. But they don't – I'm sitting here saying, after the first round of the playoffs, they don't have a Buddy Hield on their team.
Yeah.
And I don't know what Udoka's supposed to do about it.
Yeah, well, and that'll be a big theme of the show today. It'll be the offseason for sure. I mean, they've got to find some shooting, and I don't know that it exists. Well, it might exist on the roster, but Reed Shepard is rotting over there while he learns how to be a professional basketball player. You know, they've got guys that can shoot, but we're talking something more high level than – okay, maybe our third overall pick from last year evolves into something for us.
Well, Sean, you look at what could have happened last night. What did the Warriors do? They said, hey, man, Fred VanVleet's been killing us.
Yeah.
We got to give Fred VanVleet the treatment. We got to just focus our energies on him. And let's see. Oh, no Gary Payton in the game. How on earth are you going to defend Jalen Green? Oh, Jalen Green will do it himself.
He's just not going to show up. Yep.
He's just going to I see some people actually upset that Udoka has Jalen Green on the bench. Why on earth? Why on earth would you be upset with that?
No. He was a big zero last. He's a big zero for a lot of the series. No, I was more I was the other way. Like, when he would come back in the fourth quarter, I'm like, okay, why are we doing this? I thought it was really interesting. We'll have some audio from Draymond Green a little bit later on in the show. I'm just kind of pulling together some of the audio from last night after the game. But Draymond Green, very, very complimentary of the Rockets last night in his post-game availability. And it was funny. He singled out Jabari Smith Jr. as one of the players that, like, really impressed him. And yeah. Jabari was one of the ones where I thought, like, I'd have given him more minutes in this series. I'd have taken some of Jalen's minutes and given, and in one game they did. You know, they took, you know, yeah. Jalen was on the bench at the end of that really close game in game four, I think it was. So I think, look, as far as last night goes, they picked a really bad time to have their worst offensive game. In the building where they played more comfortable offensively in this series at home, they looked lost out there. I don't know if the stats back up that this was their worst offensive game.
No, it wasn't their worst offensive game, but they shot 40% from the field and they were horrible in the paint. Well, the Warriors were better from three than the Rockets were in the paint.
Well, this is why I say it was their worst offensive game. They weren't even getting threes in the game last night. Yeah. Like, they weren't even. The Warriors are making, you know, seven threes in the first quarter. I think the Rockets took two. And that's what I mean. Like, I know the percentages are what they are, and the Rockets made a bunch of shots in garbage time that probably skewed things a little bit. This was a horrible game. I mean, they're still in the 70s in midway through the fourth quarter of a game seven at home, coming off of two games where it looked like you took the life out of the Warriors in those two games. I mean, the same people that were completely dismissing the Rockets both going into this series and they were down 3-1 were picking them last night like they were the Warriors of the 2015, you know, the 2010s. And so that's why I say it was their worst offensive game. I'm just talking aesthetics. They weren't getting any good shots. The good shots they were getting, they were missing. Alperen Şengün had a good series. I'm not here to these graphics where they're putting Şengün's face next to Larry Bird and saying these are the only two to ever do this, this, and this. I guess that's true. I mean, there's just counting stats that you're giving me here. Alperen Şengün offensively was not a good player in this series. He was good defensively. He's improved defensively. He himself, after the game, said he needs to improve offensively.
Right, you know? This is one of those days where you could actually use, if you just rephrase Şengün's quotes a little bit, you're going to get 29 people from Turkey attacking you because you're criticizing Alperen Şengün.
He said this, not me.
But this is where I am with Alperen Şengün, because I know that you've gotten very frustrated and disgusted with Şengün because you feel like people are giving him too much credit. I can see. I will make the 22-year-old excuse for Alperen Şengün. For one, I mean, yes, he has criticized himself that he needs to make improvements offensively, but also when there's just no spacing and everything is all cluttered up and the Warriors are playing that zone and they don't have the offense where Alperen Şengün can find the open shooter or what have you, they're just stagnant. There's only so much he can do at this moment in his development. Yeah. I think the problem with Jalen Green is that he had every opportunity. And when you're paying somebody $35 million a year, it doesn't excuse getting blitzed and getting double teamed doesn't excuse scoring in the single digits.
Right.
That's not the, like, yeah, you know what really good players do? They still produce, they still find ways to make the offense go.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't excuse that whatsoever. But Şengün has a pulse. And Jalen Green in six of the games in this series just didn't have a pulse.
Yeah. No, Şengün, you're absolutely right. Like, that, there's a level to where you go, well, they're just young. You know, Alperen Şengün, you're right. That he had a series where you go, okay, he'll be, and he's going against Draymond Green. And you and I have taken our shots at Draymond Green in this series offensively. Defensively, he's still very good. He was excellent last night. Yeah, Şengün, the three guys that really matter in terms of, okay, they're young and this is going to get better, are if they're going to be on this team moving forward, and that's a whole other conversation, are Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün, and Amen Thompson. Amen Thompson, by the end of the series, looked like Amen from the regular season. He was fine. Yeah. Other than the calf injury, he was fine. Alperen Şengün, did enough at both ends of the floor where I'm like, all right, he needs – if Alperen Şengün just made the easy shots that he's creating for himself, he would be fine. Jalen was a disaster. Other than game two, he scored 38 points in game two, and he scored 55 in the other six games combined. Like, he was a mess this whole series.
You talk about the difference in how do you feel about this young player and how many excuses are you going to give him because of the playoffs. Amen Thompson was not himself games one through four, and then all of a sudden games five, six, seven, You talk about the difference in pulse.
Yeah.
Like, Jalen Green's dead on arrival. Amen Thompson is out there breaking stethoscopes with his incredibly strong pulse.
Yes.
The doctor's hand, he sprained the doctor's hand as he held the stethoscope to his chest.
He's got a wrap on his wrist after taking his pulse.
They're out there. They're in the doctor's office saying, "All right, who's going to go in there and take his pulse?" And they're all like, they've all got that Jalen Green look in their eyes. Yeah. Like, I don't want to go in there.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. We're going to get a ton of texts today about what they need to do. This offseason, I think this is just one person continually sending this text. Appreciate you being up early this morning with this texter. Game 7 at home with momentum. Rockets are frauds. Didn't even show up for Game 7. Rockets are frauds. I can't wait to see how else you... I don't think they're frauds. I just think they're a young team who has some growing to do. If this were a football team, Seth, the offensive coordinator would be getting fired today. That's how I feel about this team. That's how I feel about this team. They need shooters. There is no excuse to look as discombobulated as they do offensively, even against a good Warriors team. Throughout 48 minutes, like, there's nothing easy that they get on offense. Like, their best offensive games were because Fred VanVleet was unconscious. Games 5 and 6 were their best offense. Well, really 4, 5, and 6 were their best offensive games. Well, how did they do it? Fred VanVleet shot like he was like he showed up from another planet for three games.
I mean, if anything, if I could fault the Warriors for anything in games 5 and 6, it would be that they probably overcorrected for Jalen Green's 38-point game.
Yeah.
Because when they gave Fred VanVleet the treatment that they'd been given Jalen Green, Jalen Green did nothing with it in game 7. So, would you fire the offensive coordinator, and then what else would you do? Is your appetite for a superstar coming in here greater or less than it was before this series began?
Mine's greater. You know, in generalities, I'd need to know who the super... It's a horrible answer to your question, but it's true.
Right.
I need to know who the superstar is. I need to know what they're giving up. I need to know all those. In general, I am open to it. Because there are people that are just closed to it. There are people that are like, one more year, run it back, let them grow, and see if it looks better next year.
I can't... If all they do is run it back... I cannot envision how Jalen Green is part of that equation. If you bring in a superstar and Jalen Green's not one of the trade pieces, I'm open to Jalen Green being an overpaid guy, but who still does contribute. He just can't be the sole focus of attention in your future, or one of the focuses of your attention in future. But when it comes to, you know, like, if you have a chance to bring in a Devin Booker, but you got to leave out, you got to lose Jalen Green, I'm hook, line, and sinker for that.
I'd even be, if it's KD. Like, whoever you're bringing in is bringing in to get buckets for you. Like, that's
what I'm getting. Any argument about who's untouchable leaves Jalen Green completely out.
Right.
He's the difference between Amen Thompson and Şengün right now compared to Jalen Green. It's just night and day.
Yep, I would say that. I think you nailed it. All right, a lot of text rolling in about Ime Udoka not using his bench. We'll listen to all those things. And there's a lot to dig into from both this game last night and this season for the Rockets. Overall, how are we feeling about it? That's what I'm curious about. I know that the sting, the wounds are still fresh from last night. But undoubtedly, this is a team that's moving in the right direction. And the lottery is a week from today, by the way. So we'll get, by the way, that's a huge talking point for the offseason, is the NBA draft lottery coming up in a week. So we'll keep digging into that game. If you want to text in, 713-572-4610. Big day for the Astros yesterday, too. A loss that we might look back later as one of the worst of the season, but within that loss, some good things going on, and we'll talk about that coming up next.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we'll circle back to the Rockets later in this segment. They lose 103-89 yesterday to the Golden State Warriors. That'll be the lead topic today. We'll be digging into that game, looking ahead to the postseason. Quick text message, Sean. I think before the series, you were no greater than a 5 on the Rockets getting Durant. Curious, has that changed? It's certainly increased for me. I am curious. I will say I'll answer your question in a second. The text page every time we brought up Durant, really throughout before the trade deadline and then throughout the second half of the season, and definitely when this series was going in the wrong direction, the appetite for Durant still was not very high. Now that the series is over, I am curious if people feel differently. As far as I don't know that I ever put a quantity on it, Seth, or that you and I put a quantity, like 1 to 10, what's our appetite for Durant? 5 is probably around where I was. Do I have a higher appetite for him? Depending on what the trade package is? Sure. I think he's the one that you easily can seamlessly most fit into this team at this stage of his career to get what you want out of Kevin Durant.
And does his team seem like one of the teams most likely to fall for the upside of Jalen Green? I think they are. I think the Suns could be talked into. I almost said duped. They could be convinced of his upside and just how great a player he'll become when the Suns are relevant again.
Yeah, I guess. Not to turn this into a Phoenix show, but there's a lot of overlap, obviously, with Jalen Green and Devin Booker. Do they move Devin Booker? Do they feel like both guys can be on the floor with each other? All those things. But that's a probably deeper conversation for another time. But yes, I am. I don't know how you can't. I don't know how you can watch that team offensively last night and feel like just another season and they'll start like they looked like they don't play intelligently offensively. This team.
They are at the end of this series. You look at it and you say, okay, they are what we thought they were, which is they are a really good defense, but they doesn't have any kind of definition to their offense. Mm-hmm. And when you go up against really good teams in a 7-game series, you're only going to do so much. Try with turnovers and offensive rebounds. Yeah. You're not. You go up and get better. It's like going into a playoff game just hoping that Tom Brady's going to throw 4 interceptions.
Yeah. That's right. Well, and even like last night, like so much was made after the games, the wins in games 5 and 6 about the double big lineup, as it should be. Easily their best lineup that they played was the one that was Steven Adams and Alperen Şengün on the floor. So when Steven Adams comes in early in game 7, everybody's rubbing their hands and going like, all right, here we go, the double bigs. And then like of the first 3 or 4 possessions, it's Steven Adams who's shooting baby hooks and they're like, they're getting him, they're feeding him the ball. And I'm like, no. We don't want him to get touches in set offensive. You know, we don't want him. We don't want you running plays for him, or we don't want him backing somebody down and taking shots. We just like having his big body out there. So to dial, but that was weird to me too. I'm like, no. We want you in, but we don't want you shooting. Okay.
Well, in terms of the offense too, it's one thing that moving screens aside. There's one thing about Steph Curry is that he works his ass off to get open. Yeah. I mean, there's just so much movement off the ball with the Warriors in such a way that you don't see it with the Rockets. Yeah. And it just ends up looking and feeling. Whenever I watch, and this goes back to every damn James Harden series, it's versus the Warriors. Like, this team just looks lazier than the Warriors. Yeah. And yes, they get away with moving screens. And yes, they get away with a lot of crap. But they work their asses off for it.
Yep. Yep.
Frustrates
me. We'll, as it should. We'll read some of your thoughts on the Rockets. We'll get back to them later this segment, if not in headlines. They lose last night in Game 7. Overall, positive season. Last night stunk. Yesterday stunk for the Astros, too. This weekend wasn't great for the Astros. Had it not been for Jake Meyers turning into the Buddy Hield of baseball players on Saturday, this would have been a really awful weekend for the Houston Astros. The one good day was Jake Rake Day on Saturday, where he had 7 RBIs. He said, screw this, I'm not getting a cycle. Instead of a single, I'm going to get a second home run. How do you like them apples?
Right. Yeah. Let's not be cute here. Let's just mash.
That's right.
And both of those, they were nice home runs. Both of those home runs would have been home runs in all 30 ballparks.
Yes.
He just crushed them. All of his hits were over 100 miles per hour exit velocity. It was nice to see. You wonder, okay, how can we put that in a bottle and bring it back to Houston? Because it seems like he thrives in the cold weather, and he had a bunch of family there at the game as well. I mean, can we get a dormitory for his family to come stay in Houston or something?
Family.
And keep it in 55 degrees all day long?
And those big blowers that they use for us out on the pregame for the Texans when it's hot out, can they wheel like 3 of those out there and just put them around the batter's box when he's up in the plate? Cool things off a little bit, you know?
Likewise, somehow you got to figure out a way that when Lance McCullers is pitching in his first game in 900 days or whatever, I would have preferred that it wasn't quite so cold and rainy and miserable yesterday.
Yes.
Because Lance fought his... Look at the box score. It looks pretty good. He fought his way through 3 1/3 innings that almost everybody was surprised he came out for the third inning. And then he came out for the fourth inning, and it was even more of a surprise.
It was 3 2/3, and I know that because that last pitch got cut. Well, because that would have closed the inning out, and he would have been, he would have gotten four. Yeah.
Ah,
yeah, yes, yeah. He got squeezed. Yes. He got squeezed. That's the only reason I bring it up. Yeah.
He'd gotten some beneficial calls in that at bat. he could have walked him several pitches earlier.
Yeah. Even in the second inning when he loaded the bases, some of these pitches, I'm like, oh, this ump sucks, but I'm not going to say anything right now because he sucks in our favor right now.
One of my people on X said, in fairness to the ump, nobody knew where the hell those pitches were going.
He was wild. Okay, so let's dig into this because there was some good and some bad with Lance. The good obviously was when he needed to bear down, he did, and he didn't give up any runs. Pitch count, I think the other positive, and for those who didn't get to see that yesterday, maybe you were prepping for the Rockets game. The Astros lose 5-4 in the game itself. If Lance weren't pitching, the big story would be they somehow found a way to blow a game where they were rushing to get it to through 5 innings because the rain was coming in and they're up 4-0. And then by the 6th inning, they're like, rain, please stay away. We just gave up 5 runs. You know, like the bullpen blew that game. And Zach DiCenzo just had a horrific dropped fly ball that opened the door for the White Sox to start scoring all these runs. But yes, the big story yesterday was Lance McCullers. This is what his box score looked like. Then we'll hear from Lance, and then we'll dig into it ourselves. 3 2/3 innings, traffic-y. He had three. He gave up 3 hits, walked 3 guys. He hit a batter, did have 4 strikeouts, so some of the stuff was looking good. I would say the 3 walks don't begin to describe just how wild he was in this game. Like if we go with the theory that not all balls can be judged the same in the box score. Like, no, he got his money's worth on some of these sweepers and curves and sinkers that were tailing way the hell out of it.
They were extra balls.
Yeah,
they were balls plus.
They were ballsy.
When you score it, you should be able to write a ball plus on it. It was like 3, and the count was 3+2.
He was wild. He was wild, but again, at the end of the day, he was able to get out of there unscathed. Here was Lance McCullers after the game on his performance yesterday.
Overall, solid. Felt like my overall stuff was pretty good. For whatever reason, just didn't feel the slider was not obviously very good. So you got a team that's, 5-6 guys deep with the righties. One of my main weapons, main game plans is kind of, evaporates kind of in front of you. But overall, I was happy with the overall stuff. Physically, I felt strong through the game. And wished there in the second, after those couple quick outs, I did a better job. Didn't let the inning get long on me. That's kind of the main issue with the pitch count. I think throwing another 20 plus pitches there in the second, and was one pitch away from getting out of it with mid 30s. So
they let him throw 87 pitches in this game. Like the most he'd thrown in his rehab starts was 71. So they let him throw 87 pitches. And Seth, he nailed it. Like, that second inning was the one. That's the one where they loaded the bases, but it was all with two outs. Like, if he can just get out of that inning and they were going to let him go into the mid-80s pitch-wise, he might have gotten five. You might have gotten five full out of him pretty easily.
Well, and I can see, you know, everybody was wondering if they were going to, because Taylor Scott was warming up in the bullpen in that second inning. You're wondering if he's going to come out for the third, and he does, and he faces three batters, looked great, and then you're wondering, okay, but he's getting up close to his pitch limit for the day. Mm-hmm. Are they going to send him out? They did. Taylor Scott continues to warm up. And then I was starting to worry about Taylor Scott, if he was going to come out kind of too far off of his routine from the warming up for so long. I think the weirdest thing, right from the get-go, you know, his slider was like 80 miles an hour, and it just didn't look like it had the right kind of movement on it. And a lot of the classic Lance, you just didn't see. So you started leaning on his changeup. This is where things get weird with Lance, because I'm all your sense of time and like how much time has elapsed kind of evaporates. Because I was thinking as he's throwing all the changeups, like, yeah, didn't he just add that? And kind of, but it was in 2018 where he really tried to really work on it, changing his and improving his changeup. But that was only a couple seasons ago, really. If you add up all the games,
it all feels like a long time ago. With
the whole thing.
So didn't throw any fastballs, not a single one. It was all off speed stuff.
And his velocity, and that's where I wonder with the cold, especially if hopefully that's something that comes back with a combination of just getting out there more, and then also with some more comfortable environments. Can they break the air conditioning again this year at Daikin Park
when Lance is pitching?
They got to be careful because they can't do Framber needs all the help he can get though too.
So you gotta,
it can only be on Lance Day.
Yeah. So I guess overall, What are we grading? If you had to give Lance a grade for the, how are we feeling about his performance yesterday?
I'll give him a, all things considered, and given the fact that as they were talking about during the broadcast, and people have realized that it's a different strike zone. They didn't change the strike zone specifically, but the umps are calling a tighter strike zone this year because they get less of a buffer when they get graded.
Yeah,
they moved the buffer outside the strike zone from 2 inches down to 3/4 of an inch.
Yeah.
And so for Lance, who hasn't seen it, the other pitchers have been dealing with it all season long. This is Lance trying to adjust to really a tighter strike zone. These guys were calling it tight strike zone.
Yeah.
And it was, that's where I get nervous about Framber too. So I give Lance a B.
I give him
all
a B
things
too.
Considered.
B was what I wrote down. I give him a B, and the things that buoy the grade up, that pull the grade up, he threw 87 pitches. I don't think he looked weaker in the fourth inning than he did in the first inning or anything like that. And I think the 1-2-3 inning, Seth, that you pointed out, I think we should point out that was the middle of their order. I know it's a bad team, but it was their 3, 4, and 5 hitters that he went 1-2-3 on in the third inning.
Yeah.
So I thought that was good too. So I'll give him a B also. A B for
they're the worst. They're the worst offense in baseball, or one of the worst offenses consistently. So it was a nice soft landing for him.
Yeah.
But obviously he'd be the first to tell you he's got to pick it up. He's got to just look more. So that was a great. For him and what you're hoping to get out of him, he got out without allowing any runs, with a tip of the hat to Taylor Scott on that one. But, I trust he'll get better.
I do, too. All right, text messages coming in on the Rockets. I know it sucks today, but these young players overachieved big time this year. At the season start, we would have been happy with 40 wins. Looking forward to seeing them grow and get better. All right, I don't know who we is, sir. I don't know if you have a frog in your pocket. But I would not have been happy with 40 wins for two reasons. One, I had a ticket for over 43.5 this year wins.
Good job, Sean.
Thank you. And number two,
in advance, I thank you for the dinner you're going to buy me. Yes.
And number two, trust me, that over 43.5 pays for a lot of stupidity with the other bets. Trust me.
Yeah, I gotcha.
The other reason I wouldn't have been happy is they won 41 last year. They won 41. We would not have been happy with 40. Take that back, sir. We would not. You might have been happy with 40 wins. We would not have been happy with 40 wins.
There would have been no happiness about it. You might have been happy if because that's what you predicted for them, and you could have said, I told you so. But as far as they needed to show some improvement, they had to win more than 40. You're right, 100%. The 35,000-foot view is, yes, this is a team that improved dramatically. But with that improvement come increased expectations, and you wonder, all right, let's look at the guys who are making the most money and what are they providing for you, and how much longer do I have to wait for Jalen Green to turn into the version of Jalen Green that's worth $35 million?
And what are the moves that are available to us to improve this team? I would submit that nobody has more moves available to them than the Rockets do, for two reasons. One, other than OKC, who seems to have first-round picks from now until Rapture, and there's a couple other teams, you know, that have a lot of draft equity that they've stockpiled. The Rockets are one of those teams. They might have the best draft equity of any of these teams, especially if they want to make a trade with Phoenix, because they've got all of Phoenix's picks. They can just go, oh, here's your picks back. There you go. Number two, I think this is a really desirable team. If you're trading for a veteran who's going to have some say-so as to where they go, this ain't getting shipped to Utah or Milwaukee or somewhere. Like, people, yeah. Guys like, they like, they not just the team, not just ownership. I think people like playing for the Fertittas as well. But the city, like a lot of NBA guys really like the city. I think the Rockets are in the catbird seat if they want to make a move. They've got a lot of control over what their offseason looks like right now.
And we do still have the lottery coming up in a week from today, right?
Huge. It's a week. It's Monday night next week. This lottery is absolutely massive for the Rockets if they can do what happened last year, which is land in the top three. That pick for Reed Sheppard last year was forecasted before the lottery to be like the ninth pick. It was one of the picks they got in the James Harden trade from Brooklyn. It lands in the top three. I mean, look the hell out. Like, if somehow the 3.7% chance or whatever it is pops up and you get the number one overall pick, holy smokes, the trade talks that the fantasy basketball trade booking that's going to go on this text page on Twitter is going to be phenomenal if you like that.
Let's
kind
do
of
it.
Thing.
Let's do it, Rockets. Can you be clutch?
Yes.
Can you be clutch
in
the lottery?
Yeah, clutch in the lottery. Yeah.
Are you going to slip that cold envelope in there, my friend?
We need to find out who they're sending. Like, that's always a big thing. Like, who did they send last year, and who are they sending this year? Whoever they sent last year, send them again this year. They did a good job. Third overall pick. All right. So there you go. Off and running. On a Monday, off and running with the Rockets offseason, which we will talk about in headlines. Headlines, Rockets. We'll circle back to the Astros, a little bit of NFL news as well. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like scrolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, let's get to headlines. Rockets lose last night. The season is over. Overall, I would say a success, but last night, disappointment in Game 7 at home against the Warriors team that through six games, you know, it was 3-3 through six games, and I would say the Rockets the better team through those six games. Last night, not the case. Buddy Hield was just unconscious for the Warriors. Steph eventually woke up, but the Rockets found themselves down double digits and Steph Curry hadn't scored a point yet. And that part was where you go, all right, this is disappointing. And eventually Steph is going to wake up, and eventually he did, and the Rockets lose in just a really painful Game 7 to watch last night.
It was tough because there was even a point where they were lucky to be down 10 in the first half because Steph Curry hadn't scored a point yet. Yep. And Buddy Hield, I did an emergency hex on Buddy Hield at the end of the, was it the end of the first quarter when he hit that circus shot?
Yes. Yeah.
He hit that one from about mid-quarter, so the three at the end, and I put a hex on him. And it worked a little bit in the third quarter, but then he showed back up in the fourth.
He finished 12 of 15 from the field.
It worked in the third quarter, Sean.
He didn't turn the ball over. I'm trying to see where it worked.
Yeah, it worked in the third quarter. That's what happens when you don't do it publicly. I can't just text it to you that I put a hex on him.
No, but that's true because he might not have even missed a shot before the third. You're right. All three of his misses may have come after the hex. So you may be right about that.
Yeah, it only really works its full force when you've got it. I should have put a reverse hex on Jalen Green.
God.
Maybe that would have been the key.
Steph was awful through the first quarter and a half of this game. He still finished 8 of 16, 4 of 10 from 3. He had 10 rebounds in this. He almost had a triple-double last night.
Steph. Look, if I were going to power rank the three of the young guys that are or may not be the key to success moving forward, I would say guys who just met the challenge and grew and showed up in the playoffs. Amen Thompson, numero uno.
Yeah.
You got everything you want in terms of swarm or whatever you want to call. Şengün, I know it wasn't efficient, but Şengün defensively did a lot of really good things. He himself last night said he's got to improve the offense. That could be helped out a lot if the Warriors don't realize they can just clutter everything up in front of you because you don't have any actual shooters on the Rockets.
Yep.
And then Jalen Green just...
no show.
Yeah, sweet 38 points, dude. Yeah. The other six games, just absolutely nothing.
Yeah, what did you like better, Jalen Green's 38 points in Game 2 or the 55 that he scored in the other six games combined? Yeah,
I felt like I could savor each one of those 55
points.
Because it was like you're only going to get two spoonfuls of sugar, and you got to really just make them last, you know?
Absence does make the heart grow fonder, and the absence of points from Jalen Green made me grow fonder of the points he actually did score when he scored them. Here was Draymond Green following. Draymond was a pain in the ass the whole series. And he was a pain in the ass for basketball. Like, he was a pain in the ass the whole series with all the flagrants and the technicals and the yapping and the chirping and everything else. He was really good last night. He was one of the best players on the floor last night. Here was Draymond giving the Rockets a whole lot of credit in the postgame.
Ime, the way he had those guys fighting, I gained a lot of respect for that team throughout this series. One of the tougher series I've played in, personally. But that's a young team to be reckoned with. And I told myself I was going to talk crazy because they have been talking crazy all series and on the internet. But I gained so much respect for those guys. Şengün is an incredible player. The way Fred VanVleet and Steven Adams led those guys, they had no experience, and they led them, took us to the brink. That team's going to be a force to be reckoned with, and I hope they understand it. You know, things can change fast in this league. You're only on the up until you're not.
Yeah.
You know? But they got something promising that they can continue to build on. Jabari Smith, incredible. He played like a vet this whole series, getting his spots, knocking big shots down. A lot of respect for those guys.
I thought it was interesting that Jabari was the guy he brought up. I agree with him on Jabari. I thought Jabari should have got more minutes in this series. I just thought it was interesting. The one guy he brings up by name was the Rockets, you know, the second guy off the bench who probably was under-minuted in this this series. But I agree with everything you said, and especially the part, Seth, about things can change fast. Let's remind the Rockets, yeah, they were the two seed. They were two games above a cluster of teams that at the back end had to play in the play. Like, this Warriors team had to play a play-in game to get the seventh seed. The difference between the Rockets and the Warriors in the standings was very minimal. So, yeah, like, they've got to understand. Like, ask Memphis. They were the two seed a couple years ago. They're the eighth seed now. You know, they were the eighth seed. They're getting destroyed by OKC, you know, getting swept in the first round. So, yeah, man, especially in the West, this thing can change quickly on you.
I got a lot of criticism from our dear listeners for wanting the Warriors in round one. I didn't want to mess around with the Grizzlies and whatever. Just give me the Warriors right away.
Yeah.
And I still stand by that. I do wonder if some of the young guys, including Amen Thompson in the first four games, if they'd had a break-in period against a lesser team like the Grizzlies,
yeah,
and then you go and face Minnesota, what does that look like?
Yep.
And maybe Jalen Green needs an entire series to get whatever the hell is up with him out of his system. But by and large, you take it to game seven with the Warriors, and I think you learned a lot about the basketball team.
I think playing the Warriors gives you a much clearer measuring stick as to where you are right now. It's not the Warriors of old, but as you pointed out several times going into this series, once they got Jimmy Butler on this team, it is a team that defended at a very high level. They played and kind of the computers, I guess, viewed them more as like a 55-60 win team with Jimmy Butler on it than the whatever they were, 48, 49 wins, whatever they got in the regular season. I think you've got a pretty clear picture as to where you stand right now if you're the Rockets in the West, I would say. Clippers losing a game seven over the weekend. So that was the other big thing we had circled. It's like, hey, Saturday we get a James Harden game seven, and boy, did we ever. Seven points on 2 of 8 shooting, and we'll talk more about this later in the show. This reminded me of that the closeout game against San Antonio back in 2017,
where when he was launching it into the stands.
It was halftime, and they were getting killed at home by the Spurs, but he had only taken two shots in the first half, and that was back when James was the only star on the team. That was when Eric Gordon was their second best player. So that. I think people are as upset about the 8 shots as they are the 7 points. You know, like
Sean, it's crazy when people start showing the elimination games and how bad Harden has been. They don't even get all the way back to the Rockets time.
Yeah,
it's a post COVID.
Yeah,
the number of elimination games that he's been a no show.
You need
is
a podcast.
Incredible.
You need a whole podcast.
I feel bad, man. I honestly feel bad for him.
For James?
For Harden, yes.
Oh, God. Get out of here.
I do, honestly, because it's not my problem anymore. At the very least, I think that that last little contingency of people who somehow thought that Harden needed to be back on the Rockets, hopefully they'll shut up finally for now, because my God, what are you talking about? I feel bad for him. He's not our problem anymore. And this is going to be his legacy, man. I genuinely feel bad for him.
I can't do too many Pender polls at once. You and I already want to do one about Rocket fans' appetite for Kevin Durant. I suppose I could do multiple at the same time. It just gets tough to follow. What percentage of Rocket fans do you think share your pity for James Harden right now? You feel bad for him. What percentage do you think?
Why should I not feel bad for him?
I'm not telling you how to feel. I'm just asking you, how do you think Rocket fans feel similar to how you feel right now?
I don't think nearly as many people are as petty as you are, Sean.
Or maybe as compassionate as you are. You know?
Yeah.
That could be. So
we'll have to. The pettycast is going to be tough tomorrow for me to. I gotta muster up some pettiness for James Harden being awful.
There, yes, if Harden shows up there,
didn't speak to the media in any of the last three games.
And you feel sorry for this guy. He doesn't face the music in any of it. Like, what the hell is going on?
When you're the veteran leader, one of the veteran leaders on the team,
and you're the main reason they lost the game. Like you stunk. Astros, as we mentioned in the previous segment, they lose 2 out of 3 to the White Sox over the weekend. They lose 5-4 yesterday in a rain-shortened game that they were up 5-0 after 5 innings. And it's like, all right, rain, come on, get in here now. The game's official. We don't need to play. And then the 6th inning, things just completely unravel on the Astros. And we're like, no, rain, stay away. We need to retake the lead. At any rate, they lose 2 out of 3 to a horrible, horrible White Sox team. One NFL nugget, the 2027 NFL draft will take place Washington, D.C., right there in front of the Washington Monument. So there you go. Pittsburgh next year, D.C. in 2027. Houston, who knows when. All right, into the 7 o'clock hour we go. Where does this elimination, this is the 5th time the Rockets have been eliminated by the Golden State Warriors in the last 10 years. Where does the one last night stack up against the others? Where does this elimination rank alongside the other ones at the hands of the Warriors? We will discuss that. And how did the young guys do? First dose of big boy basketball. How did each of the young core players do for the Rockets? We will get to that coming up next.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.